Because I get right.
Yamuna ki jai jai, Yamuna
Do one more ganga. And everybody, just really give yourself permission, even though we're Westerners and not used to this. Just you close your eyes, you can turn away from your, just let the music take you, let Ganga's voice take you. Take that devotional part of each one of you. I know you're all devotees, so, and you don't have to move or anything, but just in case. Thank you, Ganga.
Welcome. So last night it was the full moon of Guru Purnima yesterday, celebrating the Guru principle, the fact that we have the possibility to turn, to grow towards the light. So we'll sing Om Gurudev.
Yeah.
Jai Gurudev.
Thank you so much, Ganga. Just stay in this, in the heart. If your eyes aren't closed, maybe allow your eyes to close and slide deeper into the shrine. Effortlessly, because your hearts are softer now. Just have to slide in through the heart door. It's raining here in Oxford, so maybe you hear the pitter-patter of the rain. And maybe you feel the sweetness of just a simple sharing of his chants and Ganga's sweet, sweet voice and this process of being together and melting slowly. What I love about the chanting is that it reminds me, and maybe it reminds you too, that sometimes when we do these meditations, it's all about abiding in our true nature and taking our stand as awareness. And it's all about sort of our own spiritual progress. But with the chanting, suddenly I feel like it's more about offering, giving thanks, honoring the mystery, calling, praising, surrendering. So it's not really about acquiring something, or perfecting something, or understanding even something. It's more instinctual than that. It's the same instinct that a child has with his mother and the mother with the child. It's completely organic. And actually, we have such an instinct with God, or whatever you may like to name that. We don't absolutely don't need to do anything. That instinct is inbuilt. But I think in our culture, we have somewhat lost something. We've lost something, just literally lost touch, tactile touch, voice touch, body touch, incense smell touch. We've lost something. So it's important that we gather like that. And it's so important that Ganga comes join us. and offers her voice as a bridge and a reminder. But now that there's no singing and no chanting, and we're gathered in this presence or silence, we can offer in an even more subtle way, maybe we could say, we can offer everything that arises in our experience. Every breath, every sound, every micro sensation, every feeling, every thought, everything that arises, we can offer. We can surrender. And we, you could maybe wonder, well, what are we, how do we, what are we, how do we? The answer is I have no idea, or I probably have too many ideas, but I don't really want to convey any ideas, just whatever shape this offering takes for you, trust it. You might be hitting a resistance, a wall. The mind saying no, the mind saying I don't get it. Or some contraction in the body, some kind of wall. See first what the wall is made of. Is it made of sensation? Is it made of thought? Is it a closed heart? Is it a tightly held body? Is it a fear? Is it a sadness? Once you've listened to this apparent wall that seems to be in the way between you and God, or you and presence, see that it isn't in any way an obstacle. In fact, it's probably the portal. It's probably the place where your heart needs to melt, wants to melt, longs to melt. Right there in the contraction in your shoulders and the tension in your heart and your belly, right there, it's the doorway. And again, don't worry about the sort of rational meaning of my words. They're not rational. But maybe they convey a feeling. Just like Ganga's voice. Maybe they help you remember that you're a wave. One wave amongst many, many waves, all connected, all part of the totality. And when you remember that, you don't have to work so hard at being an individual wave. You can just wave. Just wave. Wave away. Wave along. Wave to your fellow waves. Sometimes the wave that you are relaxes and almost completely dissolves back into the ocean. And other times, the wave that you are is nicely shaped. But it's never separate from the totality. So if there's hard edges to your experience right now, which are the habits of feeling like a separate wave, just splash a bit of ocean water onto those hard edges, playfully. And thank the hard edges because they, you know, usually it's the body. Really, the body works hard to sort of concretize the illusion of separation. It has to. It seems to be part of this adventure. And this poor body, you know, it does its very best. And when we stop and come to the shrine and listen, we can feel the effects of separation in the body. What a body has to do to maintain this solid, separate envelope. Thank you, body. Listening to our bodies and placing our bodies in the ocean. For example, surrendering the weight of the body, because as a wave, you don't need to hold the weight. You can let go. You're taken care of by the ocean. So surrender the weight, really. The pelvis, the legs. Surrender the weight of the earth, because often we create a very hard earth. And that's just a projection of the mind. It's the body mind separate. So the earth is separate, and there's a line, there's a boundary, and it's hard. And there's a difference and a division. But if you surrender this division, surrender the weight of the legs, of the thighs, of the knees, of the calves, of the ankles, of the feet, of the hips, sits bones, that you also surrender the hardness of the earth. Really go there. Don't just pay lip service to my words. Feel it. Feel the possibility of legs sinking into the earth, of earth softening, and the same with the arms. Feel your arms completely relaxing, the shoulders, the upper arms, the elbows, the lower arms, the wrists, the hands. You might feel if your palms are down, maybe turn your palms down wherever they're resting, touching maybe your thighs or cushion. Just feel the place where the palms, the heat penetrates, radiates. Really allow it. You don't have to hold anything back. Let your hands expand. Feel the heat penetrating. Feel that you don't have to live in a fixed body bag. You don't know where you live at the moment, and then the body can be free, 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 relaxed, touching something, quality of space. I don't live in the body lives in me in this moment, just like the sound of Ellen's voice lives in me. Sensations of my body live in me. I am the ocean. Why not? Feel your face. Let the sensations of the face come to the surface. You don't need a face. You can let your face come undone. Picasso face. Feel the forehead, the eyeballs. Feel your cheeks, your nose. The place between the nose and the mouth. Feel your mouth, your lips, upper lip. Hello. Lower lip, chin, ears, everything sort of given permission. You really don't know how many eyes you have, how many noses, how big your lips are. Let them be as big as they want. Upper lip touching the space in front. Very sensual, go there, really tactile, sensual, upper lip. As it touches the space in front, it's falling in love and expanding. Same with the lower lip. Lips merging with the space, swelling, big lips. Feel your whole body, it's a mass, sort of vibrating mass of aliveness that is intimately one with the space beyond it, with the space under it. It's all made of the same guru stuff, the real guru, the invisible stuff. Feel your back, the back of your body. It's being caressed from the top of your skull in the back all the way down. Encouraging the whole back body to sort of flow down, slow down. Yes, in fact, hopefully you're not leaning against something. If you have to be leaning, that's fine. But if you can be with your spine unsupported, make your way in a position of sitting with your spine sort of aligned. And then very slowly, let your whole back collapse, round your back. Very slowly, as if it was melting your back. Make sure the legs, the hips, and the arms are completely emptying into the earth. And then very slowly, tactily, feel your fingertips touching the space on the right and left of your legs, or if you're on the floor, on the carpet, or if you're on the chair, see what you can do. And very slowly let your fingertips travel towards the back of the body. Your back is rounded and your fingers are making their way ever so slowly, because they have to look out with their tactile sensitivity for any hidden danger. There might be a Scorpio hiding right there, slow, alive. Empty the arms as the fingertips move, the shoulders are empty, yes. And then when the hands have reached the back body, the back of the torso, rest the finger pads with the thumb pointing towards the back of the torso, and all the other fingers are pointing away from the torso. So just the finger pads, so your hands are sort of raised perpendicularly. And be very mindful, just listen to the contact with the floor. And maybe it's not so comfortable, maybe there's tension in the wrists. See if you can relax the wrists, relax the shoulders, empty the shoulders right through the arms, through the contacts of the fingers into the earth. Breathe, you're allowed to breathe, otherwise the body's dead. Drop the shoulders more. And then very slow, so it's not a fight between the hands and the earth. In fact, you might want to visualize that your hands are resting on the belly of a small child that you don't want to hurt. So what happens? Yes, now very slowly, a line of energy rising from the pubic bone, rising up so that this torso is slowly elongating, as if the whole front of the torso is licking the space in front slowly. Don't do it, in fact. Feel it, let it happen. Whole front of the body touching the space as it rises. Middle back, upper back, breath is free. Careful the hips, careful the legs. And a little bit of an arching between the shoulder blades as you draw the elbows towards one another. But no pushing, just allowing. If the face wants to turn towards the ceiling, and you allow this without becoming a sort of yogi doer. Let the posture sort of fold out effortlessly. Yes, and then slowly, slowly the torso comes to alignment And the hands travel back to the front of the body. And now feel your fingertips traveling in front of your torso, dropping your shoulders through the fingertips, dropping your legs. Breath is free. Hello, body. We're listening to you and we're exploring movements in emptiness. Feel your fingertips traveling forward, and then from the fingertips, tracing two lines, rising up with the arms. Nothing happening in the shoulders. Two arms horizontal, grazing the walls in front with your fingertips. Now slowly turn the palms to face one another. Feel maybe a sense of energy between the palms of the hands. Slowly you could massage the ball of energy if you feel it. Just massage. So you maybe you sort of push the ball in, the palms move towards each other, and then let the ball expand. And as the ball expands, the palms move out. And then again, you push gently the ball of energy. And now the ball expands and the arms are opening right and left. Let them be pushed open by a ball of energy. Big wings opening. Breath is free and you offer. The shoulders are maybe having a bit of a complaining thing, but you just surrender it to this. It's not dangerous. Long breathing, open arms. What's happening in the hips and the legs? Yes, and now the shoulders completely empty, the fingertips traveling towards the ceiling. It's just raw sensation. It's not dangerous. Don't worry. Long arms. Grazing the ceiling, feel the back of the neck licking the space behind, and now the palms facing one another. Yes. Can you empty the shoulders a tiny bit? Just drop them into the hips. Yep. And then drop the hips into the earth. And then slowly, slowly the arms melt back down. Take your time. Very sensual, letting the arms dissolve. And now melting the back again, rounding the back, lower, middle, upper. Surrendering the body, surrendering whatever wants to be surrendered, surrender that is held in the body. And again, the fingertips, let them travel to the back of the body slowly. It's always the first time. There's no reason to do this. We're not in a rush. We're not looking for anything. And once the fingers have and hands have arrived in the back of the body, let them find the position, thumbs pointing towards the torso, finger pads, relaxing into the earth, shoulders dropping into the palms. And just pause there and just really allow whatever can be let go of even more, probably the shoulders. The breath, the legs. Hello, body. The face. Yes. And again, from the pubic bone, that line of energy. So don't do it. Let it be like a plant growing from the root of the pelvis, slowly, slowly. Middle torso, heart area, upper torso, upper rib cage, throat. At the same time, the elbows draw together a bit more. And then there's an opening of the heart, spilling of the heart into the space in front of the face towards the ceiling. Make sure that you're not leaning on the arms as if they were crutches. A little bit of support, but don't forget those little babies on which the palms, baby bellies of babies on which the palms are resting. So it's very sensual. Long inhale, long exhale. Surrender, offer this, just like Ganga's chant. The posture is a kind of chant. Offering the posture. Yes, slowly, slowly, everything coming back. Don't do it, just taste it. The hands, the torso, the breath. Feel the coming and the going of the breath. The inhale, so simple, just feeling the simplicity of the inhale, the pause. Simplicity of the exhale, pause, the next in breath, completely fresh and new. Pause, the exhale, everyone, each one unique, you've discovered fresh. Don't bring memory. Imagine what it must be like for an infant to take their first breath. I mean, I guess it's pretty intense, the first breath. So maybe not suggesting that each breath be as intense as a newborn baby's breath. But not mechanical. So much to taste with the breathing, the movement of the belly, with the in-breath, the expansion. The abdomen, is it allowed or is it held? Just, that's a taste in and of itself. The slight contraction with the exhale, what is that like? Is it allowed? Is it held? Is it jerky? Is it smooth? What is the exhale like towards the end? Is there a pushing of the breath, pushing out of the breath? How does it end, the exhale? Just taste, observe, no judging, honesty. Are there feelings at the end of the exhale? Sometimes there can be fear, there can be, which provokes a certain manipulation of the breath. Again, don't try to change anything to begin with, just tasting what's here without any judgment. Welcoming, hello. With the in-breath, what happens right at the beginning of the in-breath? Are you pulling it in? Is there someone there grasping for breath? Is there fear there? No judging again. Human, we are human. We are scared little humans so much of the time. So welcoming our humanity. Yes, and now we do gently manipulate the breath. I don't really like that word, but we elongate the in-breath and the out-breath. So find your own rhythm. Find a breath that is as effortless as possible. The in-breath from the root of the pelvis travels up like a wave through the central channel of the body. A pause and then traveling down through the central channel, the out-breath from the top, the throat or the top of the head down through the pelvis. Long, smooth in-breath, ujjayi for those who know it, the pause. Long, smooth exhale. See the pathway right through the center of the body, a column of energy, and the breath just flows right through it. Smooth, even from beginning to end. No reason to do this. An offering. And even though we are doing something, still feel that the breath is breathing itself, that there's no separate breather. Feel that you're this openness, and each in-breath permeates you, fills you with yourself in a way. So and each out-breath empties you in yourself, of yourself, something like that. So it's just this, it is like a wave in the ocean, rising and ebbing and flowing, dissolving. There's not more water when the wave rises. or less when the wave dissolves. Let the breath be a song that you sing to yourself. But we all sing to ourselves in unison. Effortlessly. And again, whatever is ignited by the breath or revealed by the breath that is not happy, let the breath help. Let the breath be loving. Whatever is here doesn't need to be changed or disappear. That a bit of love never hurts, and it's available, and it's divine. Maybe Ganga can bless us again with her sweet voice. Whenever you feel moved to Ganga. If you feel moved, yes. Let your bodies move to Ganga's music. If it feels right, eyes are closed, nobody's looking.
Shakti Kundalini.
Jagadambe Mata.
Why don't we take 5 minutes break and come back? We'll have a shorter time for conversation, but let's come back in 5 minutes. Thank you so much, Ganga, and everyone.
Thank you, Ella.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, we have about 15 minutes left, and that's not very much, but feel free to ask, share, sing, I don't know, complain, whatever. Just wave and unmute yourselves. And it's nice to see all of you, little squares.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Anna. Hi. Amna. Hi.
Yes. I would like to ask something. For the past few years, I've been having like really low energy in the body. And I would like that to change, but it's not like changing much. Do you have an invitation with that?
I think you should pray to all those goddesses that we were singing to. It's hard for me to answer, Amna, because I don't know, you know, what that is, what that's saying, what's behind it. I guess maybe to explore it. Maybe suspend the need for it to change and replace that by a willingness to listen to this so-called low energy, because, you know, low energy, even the label suggests that there's a sort of correct level of energy. But what about if you didn't have any assumptions about it? And also it suggests that it's always here and always the same, which I very much doubt is the case, because I know what body minds are. But we tend to do that. We tend to sort of create a state that we then decide is chronic. And sometimes there are chronic states, and I'm sure, you know, partly it's chronic. But I guess in this approach, I would invite you to listen to it fresh and really give it some space, this so-called low energy. And then see what happens, and then maybe come back and speak to me. Or sometimes it can be emotional.
Emotional?
Well, sometimes behind a low energy state, it can be hiding something else. But I don't really know. I really don't know.
When you said pray.
Yeah.
Like, what, pray for it to change or pray for what?
I can't say, and I don't know why I said that. I can't say, because, you know, you're asking me to do all your work, and I understand that, because I want to know sometimes. I want somebody else to tell me everything. But actually, you have to go explore. And when there's suffering, I mean, it sounds like this is causing some kind of suffering, maybe not big suffering, but small suffering or medium suffering. we have to go investigate a bit. And if it's the body, then we have to listen.
And with the emotions, you said, because there could be emotions behind it, to also listen.
Of course. What else are you going to do? Bash them on the head and tell them to go away? That's not going to work. So yes, listen. And you know, it's not easy. So sometimes some of us, many of us here, may have been in therapy. I mean, it depends. You see, it depends. sometimes just coming to gatherings like this over time, it just lessens the resistance or whatever strategies the body mind has come up with to deal with deeper layers that are not acceptable, too much, overwhelming. So sometimes low energy can be one of those states that covers up, glosses over something not at all low energy. In fact, it could be rage, it could be pretty intense, it could be, but so on top, let's put a little bit of a coat of low energy. But that's just one possibility.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I hope that helps. It's very hard to answer a question like that, just, you know, because it's so very deeply personal, even though we're here, we're not supposed to be persons. Well, you know, this is about Amna, very much so. And anyway, thank you for asking.
Thank you.
You know, I'm going to just say another thing, that low energy, sometimes put music on and just shake your booty. You know, it helps. I know for me, it helps sometimes when I feel like, ugh. I just put some good old, I don't know, whatever music rocks your boat. What do you think of that idea, Amna?
I'm open to it. I'm open to all the ideas you suggested.
Okay. Even the praying one, yeah. Well, you know, like I say that because Ganga sang today. And when Ganga sings and I chant, I immediately think, why am I not doing this, you know, morning? Well, I can't do it all day, but sort of morning, midday, you know, before each meal, I don't know. And it is prayer. And it feels to me that it is a very natural thing to be doing. In one form or another, it might be chanting or it might be just praying or just a form of that. Okay. Take care. Hug.
Hello, can I ask the question?
Hi, Andreas. Yeah, of course you can, yes.
Yes, could you share to us or to me that if you feel suffering or immense suffering, what is your perspective in this awakening Buddha approach to the suffering when you feel this immense suffering? Thank you.
You're welcome, Andreas. Are you talking about your own suffering? Are you suffering?
More about generally, yeah. Sometimes it's on the Andrea suffering. Sometimes it's more kind of the surrounding and the causes and condition.
Yeah. I wish I had an answer, like a sort of nice wrapped up answer, but I'm still discovering how to be with suffering myself. And I listen to masters, teachers, who it seems to be that the best approach is twofold, at least for myself. One is to be with suffering the way we are here today, which is just, if and when possible, to pause and to feel, to awaken your the sensitivity of your felt sense, so that suffering is not just something that you've decided is called suffering and is something that is happening to you and has a sort of storyline, but it's something in the present moment that is experienced fully and very much including the body. So that would be one approach with so-called suffering, is to surrender, to say yes, to feel whatever it is, whether it is pain in the body or physical pain or psychological suffering, to to become aware of how much you resist it and then maybe soften the resistance. And then suffering suddenly can come to life. So if it's a difficult feeling, it can be allowed to unfold. And that already can be such a relief, because suddenly you're back in the flow of life. You're not this me separate from life, and I'm suffering, and there's a cause out there, and it's creating the suffering, and I'm sort of not, I'm half feeling it and half not feeling it, and therefore I'm sort of bound up with it, and we all do it a lot. But then you come to a gathering, you pause, grace descends, and you can more be in the now and feel in the throat, in the belly, the tears flow, the anger heats and moves out, the body does what it does, and life is flowing again. That would be maybe the main answer. The other answer is that sometimes you can explore it more relatively, you know, if there's a situation that's very complicated in your life, that you can explore it psychologically and explore it. It's interesting, you know, we are complicated creatures, so it can be interesting to also wonder about if there's a pattern that repeats itself in your life that creates suffering, then you can explore it more psychologically if you feel like it. Those are the short answers. You're welcome. I'm not an expert on resolving suffering. I'm an expert on suffering. Just kidding.
Thank you.
I'm quite good at suffering. Yeah. Sorry. You're welcome, Andreas. Thank you for your question. Len is laughing. Len, are you going to speak something? And go ahead. Say something wise, please.
Well, I'll just use your words from a couple of weeks ago. You said, this is the shrine of all as well. And it's interesting how different words speak to us. So for some reason, that has really stayed with me. And it sort of has become all as well, even when it doesn't seem well. Okay. And I don't know if that's what brings maybe contact with the breath that's just coming or whatever it is. But for me, that all is well has just continually come up whenever there's any kind of tension.
That's nice.
And it's almost like a little smile beneath it all.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
The human drama.
Yeah, well, I know, I love that. I love that. Oh, look at that. But you've got Anna, I mean, all is well in your world. Look at that. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, now I get it. Yeah, no, that's lovely though. Hi. I think that's really, really nice, because I've been listening to Christian mystics, contemporary Christian mystics these days, because I find that in that tradition that there's so much okayness with the brokenness, and that in fact the brokenness is the place of God or Christ, and so all is well, because we're crucified and this one, hopefully not that bad, but.
So thank you for the All Is Well shrine. It really is.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving it back to us again. Yeah. Oh, well, I think we're out of time, but it's really sweet to be with you guys and feel you all present. And the cuties are there. The cuties are Matty and those two down there on my left. I don't know, but I call them the cuties because they're really cute. Sorry, I'm in a silly mood. Okay, there's no meeting next week. I changed, but so we'll meet in 2 weeks, and then there'll be no meeting all of August. So one more meeting, and then nothing till September. So come, we'll have another, and maybe Ganga will grace us with her presence also, if she's free.
I would love to.
Yeah. Lynn, I think we don't have time for another question, but everybody can unmute yourselves and say hello, goodbye, and thank you, and whatever.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks, Ganga.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ganga.
Thank you all. You are so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your evening or mornings. Bye, Simone. Bye. Bye, Suzanne. Bye, Brandon. Bye, Christine. Bye, Leah. Bye, Lynn. Bye, Amna. Bye, Doris. Bye, Ludmila. Ludmila. Who else?
And bye. Kid. Thank you.
Bye. Bye bye. And Michaela.
I just wanted to say there's been a mariachi band playing Two Doors Down outside for the last 3 hours during this entire thing. It's like this joyous celebration with whistling and drums and saxophones. And it's just been wonderful.
That's amazing. You had two celebrations.
Yeah. And I got so deep, I didn't even hear it anymore.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.